Gabs, one of the world's best beer festivals, is coming to Brisbane April 27. Book now at gabsfestival.com. The Big
Breakfast. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Oh, it's the Big Breakfast. Marto, Robin and Nick Cody. Well, we're not here, but we're not far away.
So all this week, you'll be hearing some of our best stuff from this year.
And we'll be back Tuesday the 23rd from 5:30. Let's catch up then. But for now, enjoy the podcast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Television last night was packed full of losers. If you watched the A-League, did you see what happened there?
No.
5-0, the Roar got beaten.
I don't know.
Oh,
they're having a shocker. They're second last, I think.
All right. If you watch that celebrity Get Me in the Jungle out,
no,
and then get me out.
I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Losers.
Well, yeah, they're always losers.
If you watch the cricket, the Indians were giving us a flogging again, and then Kyrgios.
You don't know, but Nick Kyrgios killed my father. It's a long story. Oh, I'll tell you
another
day.
Story.
Okay, wow. He actually didn't, but Marto blames him because his dad was watching the TV.
My dad was swearing at Kyrgios. I'll tell you the full story later. But Kyrgios was on TV being a dick, and Dad said, "I wouldn't give that something or other a feed," and then died.
Mm. Oh, had a heart attack and
Kyrgios killed
words.
My father.
Yeah. Last day,
so I was watching last night. And
it's a little sensitive. Hasn't gotten over it. Been a couple of years.
It's not a good night to ring Mum.
Because
she would have been watching Kyrgios and throwing things at the TV set. All right. So Kath said, "Have you rung your mum?" And I said, "I rang her last night," and she knew Kyrgios was coming up, and I know exactly what she'd be doing. She'd be yelling like I normally yell at the TV, and that's probably where I got it from.
So you were happy that he lost.
I reckon you guys
should stop yelling at Kyrgios on the telly. I reckon.
No, I love this. Those two pair of losers, Tomek first. Well, Tomek, you know, the night before, we haven't had a chance to play this, got stuck into, you've just lost because you're hopeless, not like all these young up-and-coming stars who are hungry with a great attitude, and then you get into Leighton Hewitt straight after the match.
It's all Leighton. I mean, I'm going to say honestly, no one likes him anymore. He's just doing, you know, he's doing the wrong thing, and he's playing Davis. I thought he's retired.
No, we're all thinking it.
No one likes him anymore.
Yeah. Why did you lose the game? That red-headed bloke from ages ago. No one likes him. That's why I'm terrible.
I kept listening, checking whether he blamed the sorbent teller, you know, the sorbent ad that Leighton used to do. Yeah, remember he did the toilet paper ad? That's why he's such a deal.
You mentioned I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. When Tomek was on in the last series, we realised the man has mental, like he's not
How
okay.
How long did he last in that show? One?
Yeah, 2 days, and then he said he had to go because he couldn't cope. So
I do
clearly
prefer Marto's name for "I'm a Celebrity, Get Me in the Jungle."
Oh, whatever. Yeah, I'm not a celebrity. Are you handing out money to go to the jungle? Let's not. So Tomek's standing there, and he keeps on going on about Leighton.
He doesn't put Nick first. He doesn't put the Kokkinakis third. He's probably, he always thinks of himself, and it's not good. He's not playing anymore. You're not playing, bro. You're retired, I thought. Yeah.
So there's the three of them.
You're not playing, bro.
There's the three of them. There's Kokkinakis.
So he's not putting the blokes that lost in front of him. That's weird. That's a weird captain's move.
Sure is. So they've got Tomek. Kokkinakis is gone too. He's one of the tribe that hates Leighton. And then there's Nick Kyrgios last night. And they asked him after he lost, "Oh, I'm a knee sore." They asked him, what did you think about the comments about Leighton?
I always want to play Davis Cup. Like, I love Davis Cup. If I don't play, I don't play. Like, I'm available, so that's all I got to say.
Are you upset that Bernard made those comments last night and mentioned you?
With all the issues that are going on in the world, we're focusing on someone's comments about Davis Cup. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, Kyrgios. You good play point. Tennis, and he's a journalist is asking a tennis player about tennis. What are your thoughts on Syria, Nick Kyrgios? It's like, what do you want him to ask? You play tennis, idiot. Tennis questions are coming your way.
I used to say, oh, it was invented by florists. Oh, it's a Hallmark holiday. Yeah, that sort of thing.
I do think that. I mean, I think it's an age thing. Like, my 16-year-old is wanting to take his girlfriend out to dinner.
Oh, nice one.
Tomorrow, because that's what you do when you're 16. And he saved all him Target, and he's got $100 to spend. And he wanted to ask me where he should take his girlfriend. So for young ones.
McDonald's. What did you recommend?
Well, I was naming all these things, and he's going, oh, Mum, that's like a pub. I want something special. And then he thought that maybe he should go to Kabuki at, you know, that Japanese restaurant. I said, no, mate, that's not going to
No,
be
no, hold
much.
It. Yeah, you're going to split a sushi roll.
See, some people will take it too far. That's $100 of hard-earned money. That's too much.
So, but all I'm saying is it's young people who tend to get completely obsessed with Valentine.
What will she do for him?
She'll buy him something cute, like a teddy, I reckon.
Oh, do you want
just
cute?
What he wanted.
Yeah, I think that's what they do. Like, it's their first
I'd want
real
functional, like a $4.95 fill-up meal from KFC or a six-pack of Jim Beam or something you can use. Something you can get your hands around. I just believe, now you were going to tell me how much flowers are. I've been told that by a dozen flowers, this is my information, a dozen roses costs about $50, $60 normally. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, Woolies have got a half dozen for $25.
Right, oh, well, let's go, $50. I believe tomorrow it will cost $100. So it's about, to get delivered especially, it's about $100, maybe even more
even
to deliver.
More. Yeah.
1 year I worked for Lindwell's Flowers in the valley and a mate had a high ace van and I saw an ad, I took it and I delivered flowers. It was the funniest day of my life.
Why?
Because you walk into these offices, you know, and you're the guy who comes to the front desk and behind you are 20 girls, you know, working away, and they're all just looking at you, just a drool coming out going,
begging
it
to be them.
Are those flowers for me? Are those flowers for me? Yes, it's for Christine. It was the funniest day ever. The desperation. But what I used to overlook was it doesn't mean anything. You just got to do something little, don't you?
Well, see, for me personally, Sean and I have just said, like, it's a Hallmark holiday and every day should be Valentine's Day. And I truly believe that. Like, yeah. I'm all good for it.
Yeah.
But I think if you do something unexpected, like you, Marto, like, you're not, you know, anything. The most romantic man that I've ever met. So
you don't know
what the guy that wants the KFC bucket for Valentine's Day.
No, I just want the cheap bit. You had to fill her up, me.
So if you do something unexpected for Kath, you will win so much brownie points.
But I've learned this in the last few years. All you need is a card with some words written in your own hand.
And beautiful words that mean something. Not, hey, honey, this is my shopping list for next week.
No.
Like legitimately.
And a scratchy. I reckon that's all it takes in my joint.
A scratchy?
Oh, Kath loves a scratchy because what you're doing is offering hope.
Not much.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I love you so much, I'm going to give you a slim chance of winning $2.
Sorry. We were talking about Marie Kondo, the Japanese
internet Netflix sensation. She wrote a book about the art, the glory, the love, the magic of tidying up.
The joy of tidying up, I think. Four books she's written. Damn. So she's actually jamming people's houses up with crap while writing about getting rid of crap.
100%.
All right.
That's an actual true test. If you buy it, you failed.
No,
that's interesting. Well, she's got for everyone else. She's the Netflix sensation, I suppose you'd say. My wife, Kath, keeps on watching it and watched it last weekend. And I found myself go to the dump last Tuesday and then Saturday because Kath, my wife, has also told friends and everyone's watching it. I had to go to one of Kath's single friends' mates' houses and there was a lounge outside the front of her house and had to load it onto the ute and go
obedient.
To the dump. Two dumps.
Yeah, but you love the dump. Don't pretend that's a tough ask for you. You would happily go and live at the dump and chat to the dumpies all the dump stuff.
That's so
on
true.
Friday afternoon, you asked who's keen on the dump this weekend. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was a club or something. Legitimately just love the dump.
You should have seen it. I wasn't on my own either. This is where I want to get to with this.
Right.
It was one of the busiest days in history of the dump.
Well,
on Saturday morning, you know, do you have been to the dump?
Yes.
Okay. You know how you go to the Weybridge and there's the boom gate? I'd never asked that question before whether you knew. Well, it's now the refuse transfer station, of course. I should give it its correct term. There's four or five of them in Brisbane. The boom gate goes up. They weigh you.
Mm.
Okay. They give you the ticket. But, Nick, have you been to the dump before?
Of course. Okay. I was there recently.
Oh.
In the middle of a house move, had to chuck a whole bunch of stuff out.
And then you've got that big thing in the middle where, you know, like it's like a big
vacuum. Hold on, we're only just going through the boom gate.
Okay, I was getting bored.
Yeah, well, there were 12 cars. I'm telling you how busy the dump was. And it's all because of this Marie Kondo, I believe, because it's their wives pointing at husbands and saying, get rid of everything. Go do it all until that little Japanese Mary Poppins comes here and tries to clean our house out. Now, so they were all there. There would have been 12 cars before I even got to the boom gate to weigh myself, Nick. And then you go up, you drive through, follow the red arrow, number one, it's all general rubbish. So you go up there because the lounge wasn't worth recycling. If anyone doesn't know, it's a great recycling stuff at the dump these days.
And you can buy really cool things.
Would have been behind 15 cars. I thought, this is unbelievable. Then finally I saw a bloke I know at the dump. G'day, boys, at the Capera dump. They all listen to Triple M.
Of course they do.
Of course you know the blokes at the dump. You probably got like a coffee card, like 9 visits to the dump, 10th visit free.
Anyway, where are you going with this?
I'm going because I sat there and watched some of the biggest numpties I've ever seen in my life try to reverse. There were people there.
Oh, trailers.
Trailers. They cannot, because like, they don't own a ute, so they're still, they're hooking up a trailer. Mm. And a lot of them, I said to the bloke, I said, what is going on here? I've never seen such idiots in all my life. And he said, you should see them. What, they turn up with their hire trailer, so they go to their servo, order Bunnings, get the hire trailer for a few hours, load up all their rubbish, go to the dump, and then can't do it. He said, the other day I saw a bloke have 15 goes at reversing to get into the pit.
Why did he get an offer and help him?
No, you know what the bloke did? He stopped. He went to the back, put the jockey wheel down, unhooked the trailer off the car and physically it pushed it with his hands, physically pushed it to the pit, then unload. All right, what I'm getting so to strong. Here, everyone in the world used to be able to reverse a trailer. Mm. It is one of the lost skills. There are now men who can't reverse trailers to save themselves. I don't know who's, I don't want to point the finger of blame, but it's probably fathering. You should be.
Have you taught Harry?
Yeah. Is there a reason the finger's being pointed at me, Marta? I know, I just got me peas, mate.
You've only got a pee and you're 31 years. You're right, I haven't taught my own son, but that's not what we're talking about here.
The skills men have lost, right?
You that's right. The lost skills, the stuff that men can't do anymore that they used to be able to do. Now everyone uses ratchet tie downs. No one can tie a rope, but not in a rope anymore.
My mum, I remember one of my earliest memories as like a six-year-old child was my mum was in the backyard jackhammering because we had a plumbing issue.
Wait.
My dad was in the kitchen making jam.
Now, I met your mother for the first time at the wedding in November.
She's 85. And she's an absolute corker.
And?
What?
Did we talk about anything else?
Yeah, of course. Oh, what?
She had a girlfriend.
Yeah, I know. Hmm. She's gay now.
What are you saying?
She came out.
I'm saying nothing.
I know what you're
That's
saying.
That's why you get your hands on a jackhammer minutes away.
Can I tell you? I just.
She was turned by the jackhammer. Is that what you're saying?
The jackhammer turned her.
Okay.
I swear.
That's
idiot.
What you were getting at. Last call,
okay,
Robin.
Mark of the Gold Coast. Morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you going this morning?
Yeah, good, thank you. What is it that men can't do anymore?
Mate, they can't change tyres.
Oh, that's so true.
I had to pull over the side of the road to help a guy out to change his own tyre in his car. It was ridiculous.
Oh, that's sad. A man helping another man.
Change the tyre. Oh, my God. What's going on with the world?
From the sounds of your voice, you let him off pretty lightly, I reckon. You would have just mocked him the whole time.
It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M. Did you go overboard on the punt? Did everybody think you were a loud, sweary person? The Big Breakfast Weekend Regrets. Oh, so many.
So many regrets. So many. Every Monday I go, thank God, there's a new week. Let's try and improve over the one you just finished.
Can I tell you mine, which you're not going to agree with?
Let me have a guess, Robert. You're so bloody lovely, right? I've got a feeling your weekend regret is like, I only ran 7Ks, I should have ran 8 or something.
I did 40 laps at the Jindalee pool, so I'm okay with that one.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, boo-boo, here's boring
work. Did 7 loads of washing? Regret?
Yes, I did all of that. Yeah. So my big regret is that I've got a job in Bundaberg on Friday night. I'm hosting an event with Shane Jacobson, and I have to read his book before I go up there. Oh, so that I'm
weekend that's regret.
Did you read it? That is such a punish. He is so up himself, that bloke.
Oh my lord.
Oh, no.
God, Shane.
All I just said was Shane Jacobson, and look what happened.
Not Kenny.
My regret was that I didn't read enough of the book because I've got to finish it by Friday.
Oh, God. What a regret. Here. I told you, I knew it was going to be something like that.
Accidentally starred in a movie about Portaloos, now famous.
You're banned.
Up himself.
You're banned from Weekend Regret.
I only got 10 chapters into a book. Oh, no, loose unit. Look out.
The rest of us have got arrests that have been made. We have to appear in court at some stage tomorrow.
Someone's got to keep the decorum up.
Come on. If you're going to bring a regret to the table. From a house down in heaven or on the Gold Coast, from the horrors of Ipswich or
even up the coast, it's Triple M. News. We bring it back home today. A family is in shock after learning their horse that went missing at Saturday night's Bull and Bronc was ridden into the Jockey Club pub in a drunken joyride.
Where are we?
Gympie. Oh,
yay! Go, Gympie!
Oh, the Gimps.
Max, a registered quarter horse worth $10,000, had been tied to a float at the Gympie Showgrounds for around 20 minutes after competing when the Corbett family noticed him missing. Now, I don't know about you guys. If I've ever got anything that's worth $10,000, I just tie it somewhere.
Yes.
I just tie it somewhere and leave it around people that are at a bloody bull and bronc. You know what I mean? Get it.
I know you're not a detective, but are you thinking the guy has left the pub, gone outside for a wee, seen a horse and ridden it back into the pub? Is that how this is unfolded?
I think this guy
mind?
Was at the bull and bronc.
Oh, yeah.
He's had enough to drink there. Yeah. And I don't know, obviously, maybe no Uber
couldn't
and Gympie.
His car.
No cabs. Oh, yeah, the Lime scooters too far away to get. And so he's gone, there's a horse. I'm heading to the pub, right? The family had missed the horse for about 20 minutes. Then they saw footage online of a man riding their horse on the veranda of a local pub. Now, this horse had just been in a junior's barrel race about an hour before. If you don't know, barrel racing is when you race a horse in barrels. Sand around barrels.
Is there any suggestion the horse took the bloke to the pub? The pub didn't. The bloke didn't want
thirsty
to go to the
work,
pub.
Yeah, barrel racing.
I need a caldy.
The mum said the prank could have injured the horse.
Oh.
Walking the horse through the pub could have injured it. You know, unlike racing it through sand around barrels. That can't hurt a horse. And reports the bartender asked the horse why the long face, and the horse replied, "Because I've got this drunk dickhead on my back."
We're talking about the annoying things that your partner does. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
And we got lots of people ringing in saying that their partners
do... Oh, this is based on you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because
stole all the keys from your house.
Well, I just happened to...
Stole everyone's car keys.
Well, I just took my husband Sean's keys and mine at the same time. Yes, I was very annoying.
That's mine, and that's mine. And I'll put it all in my handbag.
It wasn't quite like that. But it seems that everyone's partners do really annoying things.
My husband always buys too much... or multiples of everything.
She borrows my car, Robin. I've got no problem with that, except I find half the makeup all over the car. Hairbrushes, hair ties. You're dead set. You think you're in the bathroom.
He corrects my spelling on my shopping list and the calendar at home.
Yeah, and then Mardo decided to weigh in with a whole list of things that the beautiful Kath does.
No, mainly leaves caps off. She doesn't do caps up properly on any bottles in the pantry, and you grab them and it's all over the ground next thing you know.
Yeah,
salt,
yeah.
Chilli flakes, oil, everything. Nick, it's just horrendous.
And I wanted
My wife puts a space before commas in messages.
Yeah, we were learning all these things, and then I said to you, Mardo, but what do you do? And you said this. I'm going to give you one chance to say one of your own, or else I'm going to text her and get a list.
She's at work. You won't get one. I don't do anything wrong.
Oh.
And you couldn't even ping me on toilet seat or anything cliched like that.
Because apparently you're perfect. I got in touch with Kath. He gets excited and he has a conversation with a mouthful of food.
Oh, that's nothing.
He's really messy. When we go on holidays, I like to put everything in cupboards and drawers to pretend that I live in this flash place.
Yeah.
And he just empties everything on the floor.
Who's annoying there?
But the last
one... Neither of those two so far are annoying. That's more about her than me.
No, they're not. They're about you. The last one is absolutely in the
that's
jugular.
That's how that works, Marla.
And I love this. Plus, he is a cupboard slammer. He's supposed to be a carpenter. Where are my quiet cupboard buffers?
This is what I acknowledge. That does annoy her. How come everyone else's houses that we've done over the years have got soft closed doors?
And
ours,
what's your answer?
There's no answer.
Just like slamming a door. Do you move around your house like a bat, like using sonar, just slamming doors and figuring out where you are? That sounds like the kitchen. That sounds like the laundry. That sounds like
Mardo?
The bedroom.
Oh, bang. Oh, he's in the laundry.
Okay.
You could play Marto Polo in his house. Primo Foods in Wacol, Queensland, you're about to set another Guinness World Record.
Ooh.
Good day to be hungover if you work at Primo today.
Oh, yeah.
They are about to cook up 2,000 brekkie rolls.
2,000.
So it's us two covered. Everyone else is left.
Were they trying to make the people in the jail feel bad?
This is what
they
you
can
could
smell
have.
Oh, my God. Hold on, what is it?
Smell
a
it.
Good news, though. Success is guaranteed in this world record attempt.
Why?
Because it's the first record attempt for the largest serving of brekkie roll. So could have just made 15. That would have been right.
You don't need 2,000 people.
Give yourself some wriggle room for next year.
Mate, this is not the first Guinness World Book of Records record
attempt
that Queensland has won. In the past, you've got the largest toga party in the world.
I bet you that's at University of Queensland.
I was going to say, that's that record. What's that week called?
3,700. So that was 3,700 people. You've got the largest ballet class, 1525, set by the Queensland Ballet. The largest orchestra, 7,224 set when at the Queensland Music Festival.
7,224.
Actually, that was only a couple of years ago. I think I remember that because they were trying to get kids.
Kids
from
bringing
all
their
different,
recorder. Yeah. Did they all bring their recorder for
their xylophones?
Surely you can take some time off if you're on the violin. And there's a cheeky 7,000 around you. Stand not everybody's going to be playing at once. And actually, you set just last night the largest amount of confused and disappointed people, 26,000 at the Gabba. So.
Formerly the Prime Minister of our nation, now just another rich guy from Sydney. He is Malcolm, our rich Uncle Mal. Hello, sir.
Good on you, Marto, and hello to everybody on Triple M in Brisbane. One of my favourite cities to get to because I love saying the name of your premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk, or the Palaszczuk, as you call her. Bit cheeky, but never mind. And hello to you, Nick Cody. Welcome to the team. Good on you.
G'day, Rich Uncle Mel. How are you, mate?
I'm on top of the world looking down on creation, of course. I'm up in the Papa. We had a fondue party last night, as we've had across the summer. And it got a little bit fruity, I can tell you that. Some of the people up here are loose units.
What else you been up to over the summer?
Well, I've been planning how I'm going to white ant the Liberal Party when the federal election is finally called for May 2019. I'm going to enjoy taking them all down, especially ScoMo. What a dodgy individual he is. I've been seeing him at the tennis, telling everybody he's their mate. I've still got a knife in my back with his fingerprints all over it. But of course, Nick, I've been out on the harbour in my car and thoroughly enjoying the sunshine here in Sydney.
Nice. Oh, you must have been so stoked to see that Barnaby Joyce is expecting another child.
The beetroot of Robin Bailey.
Yes.
The rancid bonce that is Barnaby Joyce. We all had to imagine him, you know, doing the act, if you will, when he told us that Vicky Campion was pregnant the first time around, and now we've had to imagine it all over again. I mean, really and truly, we don't want to... Go away, Barnaby. You terrible, terrible little man. I mean, maybe they should give the Murray-Darling Basin a pregnancy test, because he's done to that what he's done to Vicky Campion.
Is it everyone else's...
That's an IKEA joke. You can put it together yourself.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Hey, everyone else is watching the tennis. I know Ash Barty got beaten last night, but are you a tennis fan?
I am a tennis fan. I love listening to the women grunt. Isn't it terrific? It really does arouse me. But I've enjoyed the tennis. I love the tennis, Marto. And I know that you were a top-line tennis player in your time. Yeah. I love any sport where the poor can't go. Rowing, yachting, polo, the tennis. Just so long as, you know, off they go into the hot gravel of the outer suburbs with their chocolate milk and their chain smoking. And but I've got to say to Bernard Tomic, really, pull up your socks, mate. You can't pour a bucket on Leighton. I mean, Leighton will be remembered and you will be forgotten, Bernard Tomic. You terrible man. Off you go, Bernard. Come on! That was me doing a bit of Leighton.
That's good. Yes,
well
we
done.
Understand that.
You rocking anyone?
Well, yes, your producer told me to rock somebody. I can't remember who it is. Triple M rocks some.
Have a stab. Just have a stab.
I will have a stab. Yeah. Triple M rocks Eagle Farm.
There it is.
There you go.
Oh, he's remembered.
Beautiful.
Can I just check something, Prime Minister? Yesterday, Scott Morrison, ScoMo as you call him, was in Cooktown. I don't know. Did you see him utter those comments? And I'm not sure what you're like historically, but claiming that Captain Cook circumnavigated Australia.
Well, he's an idiot. Captain Cook didn't circumnavigate Australia. No. He on his first voyage around this part of the world, he went down the eastern seaboard.
Yes, we know.
And navigated that very well. And of course, they're going to spend $7 million on recreating the Endeavour's voyage. It's going to end up in Hawaii, where everyone gets clubbed to death. It's going to be historically very accurate. They're going to be shooting people nilly-willy. All the crew will have scurvy, and then they're going to spread smallpox through Victoria.
PM Rich Uncle Mal, thanks for your time.
Okay, bye now.
Guys, joining us this morning in studio. This is my first in-studio guest. This is amazing. It's the one and only. I'm so excited. It's Jimmy Barnes.
How are you?
Are you, mate?
Welcome to radio.
Oh, mate, this is good fun. Good fun. So this is your first original release in close to a decade?
Yeah, close to it. But, you know, in saying that, I've had a soul record. I've had two books. I've had soundtracks. I've done kids' albums. So it has, you know, been pretty busy, but... It's really cool to sit down and write a bunch of rock and roll songs again and get in the studio and sort of get that out, you know. So it's always a good release to do that, you know.
But Barnsey, it's a song about you. It's a song about your life. I mean, of all the stuff that you've done in the past, this seems much more personal. Is that right?
Yeah, I think you know tapping into all that stuff, writing the two books has allowed me to sort of write and talk. It's just sort of rounding a lot of that stuff up. It's allowed me to talk about stuff that's a lot more personal, just a lot more close to the bone. But at the same time, a criminal record can be interpreted in a lot of ways. It's about poverty. It's about, about class, about that, I spent, years trying to pretend to Jane, that I came from a better place, because I didn't want to, think that I was a pauper and I didn't know what I was doing. And I think a lot of people hide things away like that because they're ashamed of where they came from or ashamed of what they've been or what they've done. And really it's just getting to grips with it and saying, oh, this is what I am and moving on.
Hey, Barnsey, you know how you did that the tour and a lot of it was spoken word. Were you taking questions from the audience at times?
Not really. We did a Q&A sort of tour around it as well. Like, that was more to present the book. But on those gigs, most of the time I'd take a few, people would, if they yelled something out, I'd certainly answer them. But it was normally they were I'd tell them, get lost. But normally they sat there with their jaws down for a lot of it. It was just, it's hard to get a word in edgeways for me anyway.
All right. Well, we got Dale from Cooper's Plains, one of our listeners, wants to ask you a question. Say hello and then shoot with the question, Dale.
He's actually dropped out there, but Dale does want to. He does want to know.
Dale, so far so good.
Barnsey, do you still own that herd of fiberglass cows?
No, the taxman took them in about 1997.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
Hang on. Tell us about the fiber. What do you mean you had fiberglass cows?
You've got too much money when you're in California. I remember we're in California and we're making a record there. And basically, walking to the studio, I had to walk past this antique shop. And so I just bought everything. I had jukeboxes and all this. In the back of this antique shop, they had actual full-size cows that were made of fiberglass. They were from dairies, And so I bought like three of them and put them in a container back to Australia. Yeah. And the thing was, where I lived in the country, you had to sort of, the road across was, it was about half a mile across to the main road. So I stood the cows in the paddock and every day I'd move them around. I put them up trees, pretend they were shagging each other. People would drive past it. People would drive past and think they were real, you see.
See, that's rock star money. I'm a stand-up. That's rock star money, fiberglass cows. I'm a stand-up comedian. I've just got sheep made out of Tupperware. It's not quite the same.
So, can I check?
They're close.
So the tax office said he's got fiberglass cows. We better have a closer look.
I'm taking them. Yeah, you really. It's a bit obvious, isn't it? He deserves to be, audited.
We're actually doing a competition on Triple M at the minute, giving away $1 million. Besides the fiberglass cows,
what would you buy?
What is the silliest thing you've ever blown cash on?
Oh, Jesus, there's been so many.
I love these.
There's been so I need this. Now, I bought a saddle. It's a saddle for my horse, and it was called Bowling.
Real horse?
Plastic. Wooden. I had a bunch of horses I used to ride every day, but I bought this saddle, right? It was made by a guy. It was a Bowling saddle, which is one of the most famous saddles in the world. They were like sterling silver, beaten leather. And this saddle was actually in a movie where Stacey Keach played a bad westerner called Bad Bob. And I thought it was fantastic. It was beautiful. The problem was my horse didn't like, western saddles, So I brought it back and I went to put it on the horse and he just threw me.
Waste.
A waste of bloody time. So I had this saddle sat in my bar. And the only time it ever got used is when Glenn Shorrock came down and got really drunk and sat on it.
Should have put it on the cows.
Should have put it on the cows. Killed two birds with one stone.
I love your life, Jimmy.
So good.
These were the decadent, this was in the 90s.
The new album is out in May. Has it got a title yet, Jimmy?
My Criminal Record.
Oh, it is. It's self-titled. Yes. It's after the song. Yeah, okay. Well, that's the first single.
Single's the first taste. I was thinking about giving them a set of handcuffs with every album.
My Criminal Record. We're going to keep spinning it on Triple M. Obviously, Jimmy Barnes, it is always a pleasure. Thanks for coming.
Very nice to talk to you guys.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Right, I have a situation. I've got Kath's Heather's Suzuki Jimny, and we went over to Moreton Island on the weekend, her and I.
The cutest little four-wheel drivey thing.
Little Tonka truck.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Coming back down the beach, if anyone knows Moreton, you go drive along the beach and then you hop on a big boat called the Mycat and you come back to Brisbane, okay? Mm-hmm. All good.
Yep.
coming along the beach with 10Ks to go before we got to the barge, couldn't get the car out of first gear.
What do you mean? What happened to it?
I don't understand. I just fixed a shock absorber. That was a big effort for me. And then I couldn't get into second or third or reverse. Couldn't get into anything.
Okay.
So we went, right, we will just sit in first gear. And we drove 11 kilometres in first gear along the beach, wow, doing about 15Ks an
hour. Which you can do on the beach. There is no traffic. You're fine.
So we got it onto the barge. And then we got it to Brisbane, a Fisherman's Island. Cass said, I'm not driving that home.
Right, fair enough.
So I actually had my car at the barge place as well, so we drove mine home and it's still there. I am riding my push bike to Fisherman's Island, which is about, between my house and Fisherman's Island, is about 24, 25Ks.
Well done, you.
Down near the mouth of the Brisbane River, and I'm planning on driving that car slowly home with my hazard lights on. I've got to go over the gateway, through a tunnel.
You can't do that! You cannot!
You used to be able to tow. If your mate broke down, you used to be able to tow it. I'm pretty aware that that doesn't occur anymore because it was dangerous. But I want to know, if you're driving slowly with your hazards on, why can't I just...
Can I just check?
I'll go 20 an hour.
Okay, if these people say no, are you going to adhere to that?
I'll tell you tomorrow. Now, hazard lights, they do everything. If you park your car and you have hazard lights on the bonnet, you can park anywhere.
Oh,
hazard lights are the best thing. They just say, keep an eye out for this. This rooster's got a bit of trouble in his life or something's wrong. And that's what they're for.
Okay, so now we're going to call him Percy the Policeman because he's not going to tell us his real name. Hello, sir.
Oh, okay.
This is Percy speaking. How are you?
All right. Oh, okay. Now, I didn't realise I was going to get an official one. I just wanted a few rogues.
That's bloody old Sergeant Stevie ringing in.
Now, all right, Percy, what is the ruling?
Mate, you cannot do that. 20Ks with your hazards on, and considering how bad your car's performing, is probably going to be deemed defective.
So that's the law he's breaking.
Yeah. Not to mention, if depending on what road surface he's driving on, if the speed limit is 80Ks or more,
and he's doing
well and truly, and I think it's by at least 30Ks, there is also an offence for that too. Oh,
all right, I'm going to think like a Queenslander here. What's the fine? Like, is it cheaper than me getting a tow truck?
To be honest, mate, no, not really. 361 for the life endangering offence on the highway, and then you've got $200 and something plus 2 points on the defence as well.
But also, sir, that's if he gets caught. There's no way he's getting caught.
This is very true.
Hold on.
Not going to outrun anyone.
Yeah, he's given a location and a timeline, so there's a very good chance he will get caught.
Oh, God, we need a sympathetic towie. He's going to help you out, Marto.
I'll be taking selfies. Don't worry while I do it. Afterpay. Now, it's lay-by, but you get to take the stuff home immediately. Are your kids using it?
Yeah, or my eldest one particularly.
All right.
How old do you have to be to use it?
You just have to have a debit card. Now, be very careful. Do not use, if anyone wants one piece of advice, don't use your credit card to do it. Use a debit card because they can't get you so much and it won't affect your credit rating. This thing started about 4 years ago, started by a guy in Sydney, and I'll tell you, he's not doing you guys a favour by letting you use it. He's made about $250 million out of it, the Sydney 28-year-old bloke from Sydney, eh?
Smart fella. Yeah.
Going all right. After
he doesn't have to use it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm suggesting that you shouldn't use it for anything that is gone, like anything, what I would say, perishable, like a flight. It's gone. You don't care about it. Like food and drink. Like if a
flight's perishable.
Well, they're gone. Anything that's gone, after you've used it, it disappears. Yeah. It's not there. Clothes, go for your life.
He
if you
uses
think.
It for
what
clothes.
I'm hearing is that young blokes, and I'll tell you, this is the phenomenon that my kids are telling me about. Young guys who have got girlfriends, now I'm talking 17-year-olds rather than 20-year-olds, the girls are going, oh, I haven't got my card. Oh, yeah, I really love you. Can you buy that for me? So these, if you've got Afterpay, you're thinking you're a legend. So you go, yeah, no worries. And they can't pay it. And the young blokes are getting stuck with it while the young girls have got the shoes or handbag or whatever they want.
So
have you
do you
heard
think
that
Valentine's
one?
Day, there was a lot of Afterpay teddy bears?
Oh, is that how the teddy bear?
No, that wasn't how my son did it because I know for a fact he saved the money and spent it. But I wonder if there was.
I've told you before about funerals. Now, that's one of the greatest. If you can't afford, people will be putting, because they're putting, here's some ideas.
Well, that's a perishable.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hold on. Here's some other perishables. Listen to this.
Wedding gowns, airfares,
even this Gold Coast car repairer has come on board.
Car repairs. What a classic. No. I've got a crap box and I've got $1,200. You get it. And your car's running. You don't care anymore in 2 weeks' time and then you don't front up. But funerals are one of the classic because my sister used to put bodies in it. Yeah, you know, used to bury people. Nobody gives a stuff 4 weeks after the funeral. Correct?
Yeah, what are you going to do? You can't exhume
them. You can't dig them up.
Is that the little line that they're using? Afterlife? Afterpay? That's a nice little catchy...
Could be. Well, she used to use bikies. I don't know what they're doing.
Oh, no.
They come and visit you. You go, no. I remember Uncle Steve. Yeah, I'll give you that money.
The original that's afterpay.
Yeah, that's after knees. What are you going to use?
You know, last week the uni offers came out for Year 12 students last year. And my heart sank a little bit because I was imagining, as I remembered this from my own son last year, that, you know, you rip open that envelope or you go online and you check whether you got into the course that you've been hoping you'll get into. And
that's
then,
how it works for a lot of people.
Right, that's how it works, okay. But now that I'm 12 months on and my son, who's 18, nearly 19, has finished his first year of uni, he's kind of like those kids again because he's really not sure that what he's doing is what he wants to do. And I think that there's a lot of boys particularly, there'd be some girls, but I think that just the way that young men mature, like he's come out of, and this is why I wanted your advice, because I'm seriously really struggling to give him some words of meaning that can help him. Mm. So he's come out of 6 years of high school and very institutionalized, where you're told what to do, where to do, how to do it. Yeah. He had spoon-fed, absolutely. Had schoolies, had a wonderful break, and then started to do uni. Now, he got into aviation because he thought that that would be a cool job to have. And I think in his mind, he imagined himself in a pilot's uniform and chicks falling all over him, basically.
I went to university for 6 months to do a Bachelor of Business Sports Management because when I was 17, I watched Jerry Maguire Drunk.
Okay.
Wow.
And I was like, show me the money. And then I turned up. I'm like, this sucks. There's heaps of paperwork.
Stuff to do.
And I'm envisaging that that was kind of where my eldest son was at. He's seen Top Gun and gone through it. Not actually taking in mind that being a pilot requires a huge amount of maths, and maths was never his strong point.
Oh, dear.
So now we've finished the first year, and he's just really despondent. He doesn't really want to go back, but he knows that all his mates are going back to second year uni. He's got, you know, his life is kind of established around the fact that his friends do uni. And as I started to ask more mums and dads that I know this question, there's a lot of kids doing the same.
Has he got a part-time job?
Yes, he does. He works as a landscaper,
labourer. Stay with that. That's what will give you identity rather than studying anything.
Do you reckon, though?
Make it a full-time job.
He likes digging up the ground more than flying in the sky.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He's done it. He's doing it for the money. I mean, and he's good at it and they like him. I thought...
Do you have to go to uni to become a pilot, though? Can't you just go to Archerfield and still leave the keys in one of them? No, but can't you just take lessons? Do you have to do all the maths?
Okay, yeah, but you still need to know how to navigate and stuff.
No, I reckon if you fly for Scoot, most of those airplanes get turned around due to a bit air brawl, so you won't even have to know how to fly the whole distance.
I told you they'd be no good at advice, really, didn't I?
Big Breakfast on Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.